Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So are you ready for December 21st? In case you haven't heard, that's the date some think the ancient Mayans predicted for the end of the world, since that's the date their calendar stops. Now, we really don't know that much about the ancient Mayans, but that hasn't stopped some folks from believing that they had some sort of secret knowledge that enabled them to predict when the world was going to end. And of course, the media and the internet are hyping this. There are television specials about it. And if you Google it, you will find millions of references to it. But we shouldn't be surprised. The end of the world and predictions about it have fascinated folks for a long time and spawned many fanatical sects. Last year it was Harold Camping. Twice. This year it's the Mayans. Next year it will be somebody else. But they all have this in common. They've all been wrong. It is as Jesus said, but concerning that day or that hour, no one knows. And no one means no one. There is no secret knowledge, no code in the Bible that needs deciphering, no revelation to a select few. No one knows, Jesus says, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son in his state of humiliation, but only the Father. Now, the Mayans may be right, assuming they actually thought this and we didn't just lose the rest of their calendar. The odds are long, and it won't have been because of any secret knowledge. But one day, somebody's got to be right. They may have actually accidentally picked the right date when Jesus is coming back. Because this we know. Jesus is coming back. There is an end. On this, the Bible is clear. Isaiah told us today that on that day, the heavens will vanish like smoke and the earth will wear out like a garment. Last week, we heard Jesus speak about the signs of the coming of the end, and we heard more of those signs today. And last week, we considered that even as Jesus spoke all those things, he also assured us that in the midst of these terrifying signs, the work of God will not be stopped. The gospel is going out, and the Holy Spirit is working. And that is what is happening today. This week, though, as we continue to hear about the approach of the end, Jesus adds an admonition. Stay awake, he says. Twice. Stay awake. Don't let your faith doze off. Watch. Be ready. Think about it. Look for it. Wait with readiness for the coming of that day, since you know not when it will be. It seems to me that's worth considering a bit this morning, because there's all kinds of ways to wait and watch. Jesus uses the example of a servant and a doorkeeper who is commanded to stay awake, but still, how? How do they wait for the return of the master of the house? seems to me there are a number of ways. Sometimes we wait for things with much joy and anticipation, like children waiting for Christmas morning to come, or like a couple waiting for their wedding day, or a military wife waiting to see her husband get off the plane after a long deployment. That is waiting that cannot wait for the day and the moment to arrive. But not all waiting is like that. Sometimes we wait for things with much fear and dread. Like when you have a big test coming up at school and you're not prepared. Or when the day of your surgery draws near, or when you are sitting by the bed of a loved one who is dying. That is waiting in the hope that that day and that moment will never arrive. Then there is also the kind of waiting that numbs our brain in boredom. This is the proverbial husband waiting for his wife who is clothes shopping and trying on 100 different things, or waiting for your turn to come up at the DMV. That is waiting with the desire to do anything else and be anywhere else in all the world but there. So how are you waiting for the return of Jesus and the end? Or maybe for you it is none of the above. None of the above because you're so wrapped up in your life that you give little thought to any of this. Or because it's only kooks and pastors at the end of the church year who talk about this. Well, however you are, it's good to take some time, at least at the end of every church year, to consider this. And maybe repent. And change how you are waiting. Because as we considered a couple of weeks ago, how you think about the end influences how you live now. And it is Jude that gives us some words about that today. He says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh." Now, on the one hand, notice how ordinary that all sounds. Because it is. It is because we need not fear the end, and wait in fear and dread for whenever it may come. We need not worry or have great anxiety for that day and when it is going to happen, or what is going to happen on it. Because for all who have been baptized into Christ, we already know how that day is going to turn out. You know, because when Jesus hung on the cross, he hung there with your sins. He received there God's judgment against them and was declared guilty in your place. And so the judgment and the condemnation for your sins has already been given. That's what the cross means for us. And then, when you are baptized, when you hear the words of absolution here in faith, You are hearing and receiving the same verdict that will be pronounced on you on the last day. The not guilty. Jesus earned and won for you on the cross. So that when that day comes, what will happen is that you will finally and fully take full possession of the new life that is already yours as a baptized child of God. As your body is raised and glorified and changed to fit the new life in the new creation. But until that day comes, our confidence doesn't mean we do nothing. Yes, we're not afraid. We no longer fear and dread. Our confidence means that we don't have to worry about it. But until that day comes, the death and resurrection of Jesus gives us the freedom to wait and watch and stay awake, as Jesus admonished and as Jude described. To do these things, these ordinary things, as we wait. To do these things as we live in our daily vocations. To do these things as we live in the confidence of our Savior's love and work for us. So what are these things? Well, Jude says, first of all, until that day comes, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Or in other words, be immersed in what you believe. Don't wait for that day like you're at the DMV. Read and study the scriptures. Dwell on them and find Christ in them. In every book, in every chapter and verse, find the love of Christ for you. For that is what the scriptures are. They're not a textbook or an instruction book for you to cram for your final exam on the last day. But the words of your loving Savior, teaching you of His love and work for you. That you not fear, but believe. That you not doubt, but rejoice in Him. And immersed in the Scriptures, you will be built up. For the Holy Spirit works through the Word to do that very work. And so you will be built up in your most holy faith. The faith the Holy Spirit gives and will strengthen and keep in you. Then Jude says, until that day comes, pray in the Holy Spirit. The end times are a time for prayer. The Holy Spirit who comes to you through the Word, prompting you and helping you in your prayers. To pray for yourselves, to pray for others, for all in every need, to pray for those who cannot pray, to pray for those who sadly don't know how to pray. And the Holy Spirit, who brings God's Word to your ears, will in the same way bring your words, your prayers, to God's ears. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Next, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep being on the receiving end of His love for you, hearing His Word, taking in His words of forgiveness and life, receiving the body and blood of Christ. For these are His loving gifts to you, His gifts by which He loves you and keeps you in His love. And waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Notice those words. What are we waiting for? Mercy, not judgment. Because for our Lord of mercy, every day is a day of mercy. even the last day. For the not guilty we hear now, and which will be spoken to us on the last day, is in no way earned or deserved by us. It is mercy. The mercy of the cross. Mercy then, mercy now, mercy forever. And then finally, have mercy on those who doubt. The mercy we receive, we also give. We watch out for one another. We care for one another. Forgive one another. Encourage one another. Because we're in this together. As I said last week, we're not 1 billion individual Christians who all happen to live on the earth at the same time. We're one. The church. The body of Christ. To be strong for others when they're weak. And for them to be strong for us when we are weak. To support each other and encourage one another. To have mercy on those who doubt or who have fallen away. And to reach out in mercy to those not yet in the church. Not yet believing. Not approving of sin, as some are prone to do today, but snatching them out of the fire, Jude says. That no one may miss the glory that is coming. That all may wait for that day, not in false security, but in faith. Not in dread, but in joy. For truly that will be for us a day of joy. As we sang in the first two hymns today, it will be the day of the beginning of the wedding feast in heaven, which has no end. The wedding feast, which Jesus has gone to prepare for us and is even now preparing for you. For as Jude concludes, it's all Him, not you. It is not you, your efforts, your works, your piety that will prepare you for that day. This is Jesus' work as well. Through His Word and sacraments, He is the one who is able. He is able to keep you from stumbling with His sure feet that trampled sin, death, and the devil. He is the one able to present you blameless in His robe of righteousness, which He gives to you. For you see, Jesus is the one the last day is really all about. His work, His life, His salvation, His gifts. And so in Him, you are safe. In Him, you have life. In Him, there is all joy. As on that day, we will finally see with our eyes what we now believe by faith. So if the Mayans are right, and the end comes, Jesus comes on December 21st, that doesn't mean that we'll miss out on Christmas this year. Rather, it just means we get to celebrate Christmas in a whole new way. The fulfillment of Christmas. The real Christmas. A joy and celebration which won't last just for a day, but which will have no end. That's the day that's coming. That's the day we're waiting and watching for. So let our joyful prayer be, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Heavenly Bridegroom. Come and take us home. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.